That follows a Dispatches report now on Iraq's missing billions.
Last night, a square mile in central Baghdad seemed like hell on earth.
Almost 3 years ago, the British and American coalition, which had overthrown Saddam Hussein, was given a very special responsibility by the United Nations. It was given trusteeship of more than $20 billion, which belonged to the people of Iraq. Over the next 14 months, it spent almost all of it. Yet no one can account for where it all went. Literally, billions of dollars have gone missing.
American law was suspended, Iraqi law was suspended, and Iraq basically became a free fraud zone. In a free fire zone, you can shoot at anybody you want. In a free fraud zone, you can steal anything you like.
Tonight on Dispatches, we reveal the fraud, incompetence, and corruption, which is the Iraq money pit.
I think that as trustees of the Iraq assets, we did a very poor job. I think it was a failure. After all, it was their money. We should have spent it on the Iraqi people rather than sucking out of them and putting it in the pockets of foreign businesses.
And today, all across Iraq, ordinary people are paying the price of that failure.
طبعا هاي الطريقة مو بس بداية أو سايد أوف ميديسين لأنه لا أنبوباك لا هاي زين
Ali Fadil is an Iraqi doctor, but he's also a journalist who's won international awards for his dangerous work uncovering the truth about conditions in Iraq today. We asked him to investigate the human consequences of the coalition's failure to rebuild Iraq as promised. Ali and his family live in Baghdad. His daughter Sarah is just three.
Sarah was born 4 days before Saddam fell. I think of her as the future of Iraq. But that future depends on Iraq being rebuilt. This was the promise made by the United States and Britain.
We will help them to restore basic services, such as electricity and water, and to build new schools, roads, and medical clinics.
Few things provide a better barometer of the state of a nation's health than the state of its health service. The coalition says it spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this, so we asked Ali to use his medical expertise to see what's been achieved. While Dispatches went to the United States in search of the people who spent Iraq's money, Ali set off to look at reconstruction in one small area of Iraq.
They spent actually $527 million in a very small city in the south of Iraq called Diwaniyah. And I believe it's a good place to go and see. So we'll go to that city and see what the Americans have done so far.
Ali headed for Diwaniyah, 100 miles south of Baghdad, on one of the most dangerous roads in Iraq. Because of the danger, only an Iraqi could attempt this kind of investigation. But he'll be risking his life to do it.
I decided to visit Diwaniyah's only state pediatric and maternity hospital. The years of war, neglect by Saddam, and Western sanctions left this hospital in a terrible state. So the staff were very pleased when last year the Americans promised a $4 million refit. But with just a week to go before this part of the hospital opens, it's not looking very promising. The hospital manager has invited me to join an inspection tour, but the man representing the American contractor is not happy about me filming. As we walk around, the problems are obvious. Outside, we can see an open manhole and sewage in the garden. And in the kitchen, more blocked sewage. Everywhere, the standard of work is terrible. New light fittings have melted. Pipes have not been connected. In the operating theater changing room, you can smell raw sewage. But there's one thing that to a doctor seems incredible. The flooring has been repaired so badly, it is now a potential killer. I can even see ants crawling under the flooring, and this is in an operating theater that's going to be in use in a week's time. The man in charge of maintenance is in despair.
تعتبر هاي الهاي كواليتي تجينا لانه من يجيك واحد على اساس انه جاي ينقذك جاي يريد بعد هالمعاناه وهالمراره اللي شفناها قبل ماشي فالمفروض يجيب لي فشي ماشي يعطيني اياه لانه يناسب على الاقل كمستشفى يعني بعيد عن الربح المادي.
The American contractor told us that all the work had been done by Iraqi subcontractors overseen by them and US government agencies. But for Iraqis, the real issue is this. The coalition had $23 billion of Iraq's own money. So what have they done with it? The money included proceeds from the sale of Iraq's oil under the United Nations Oil for Food program and seized Iraqi bank accounts. It was all put into a new fund run by the coalition, the so-called Development Fund for Iraq.
Any oil sales that were made in this period, those monies from those sales became part of the Development Fund for Iraq. All assets of the government, whether within the country or outside the country, were part of the Development Fund for Iraq.
The fund was turned into hard cash, stored by the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. From there, literally tons and tons of crisp $100 bills were transported to Andrews Air Force Base near Washington, then flown to Iraq. Over the first 14 months of the occupation, 363 tons of $100 bills were flown in. That's $12 billion in cash.
Iraq was awash in cash, in dollar bills, the US dollars. Piles and piles of money.
The CPA, or Coalition Provisional Authority, ran Iraq during that period, and they were in charge of the Iraqi money. But who ran the CPA? Officially, it was the Coalition of the Willing, including the UK. The reality was very different. The American State Department had prepared plans for the post-war rebuilding of Iraq. But the Bush administration swept those plans aside. Instead, power was handed to the people in this building. The Pentagon. The military, the people who run wars, not countries, were put in charge of nation building. The Pentagon's man in Iraq was American Ambassador L. Paul Bremer III. And he immediately put his stamp on the new regime. He said US contractors were not subject to Iraqi law.
He gave them immunity from prosecution or even collection actions under Iraqi law. So American law was suspended, Iraqi law was suspended, and Iraq basically became a free fraud zone. In a free fraud zone, you can steal anything you like. And that was what they did.
Frank Willis was one of Bremer's top officials. He was a senior member of the Coalition Provisional Authority and effectively in charge of all civil aviation in occupied Iraq. He's agreed to speak out about the Iraq money pit and how it worked.
Contracts were negotiated fast and furiously. Sums were paid. Contractors went about their business. But there was very poor oversight of the performance in those contracts. There was a lack of personnel on our part, and there was a lack of trained personnel on our part to provide an effective supervising function.
In an atmosphere of chaos, fantastic sums of money were stashed by the Americans in Saddam's captured palace. Bags of cash were handed out daily.
We were known to have played football with some of the bricks of $100 bills before delivery. It was a Wild West, crazy atmosphere, the likes of which none of us had ever experienced.
Security was incredibly lax. From one vault, $750,000 was stolen. Another safe was left open. In one case, two American agents left Iraq without accounting for nearly $1.5 million.
When you have cash, it stands to reason that you're not going to be able to trace in the same kind of way. It's why a lot of dirty deals are done in cash.
As word spread of the deals to be done in Iraq, contractors from around the world began to congregate. Some were reputable, some were not.
It attracted soldiers of fortune and people who went to Iraq in order to make a buck. These were people who had no interest in fostering democracy in Iraq. They had no interest even in carrying out their instructions from the U.S. military. What they were interested in was in simply making a profit. They saw their opportunity and they went for it. And these are the people who we know as the war profiteers.
The profiteers were on their way. And the Iraqi people were about to pay the price. From the early days of the occupation in 2003, Iraq was awash with dollars and with promises of a new tomorrow.
$18.4 billion to the people of Iraq to rebuild the country.
Putting money into essential services like health care.
The budget for 203 will be somewhere between $600 million and $800 million.
Money is flowing back into the healthcare system.
So what happened to all those promises? Dr. Ali Fadil is in a pediatric and maternity hospital in Diwaniya trying to find out.
This hospital has just had a $4 million refurbishment. But where did all that money go? Not on vital medical equipment. There's a constant stream of children from Diwaniya with severe diarrhea and dehydration. To rehydrate them, special fine drip needles, cannulas, are needed. This is a basic piece of equipment, very cheap. But an infant like this needs the very smallest of needles, and the hospital has none. Her mother has brought her here in desperation, after another hospital spent 3 days trying unsuccessfully to get a large cannula into her. It's all too much for the mother who's watched her child suffer unnecessarily for so long.
So how come after 3 years of occupation and billions of dollars of spending, hospitals are still short of basic supplies? Health experts who were in Iraq in the first weeks of the occupation say the mistakes were made from the start. This laid the basis for today's problems in Diwaniya.
Well, what we should have done is help to flood the country with simple equipment, the simple basics.